Good evening. Most all animals have some kind of defensive mechanism that kicks in when there is danger nearby. The possum has a peculiar defensive thing that it does. Some predator is looking for a good meal and comes near the possum. That's what happens. Well, first it runs away, but if it can't get away, it just plays dead, drops down. So the predator comes around it and doesn't look too good, so it wanders on its way to find something else. So when the coast is clear, the possum gets up and walks away unscathed. The deer has very large ears and can hear danger coming from a long way off. They also have a very acute sense of smell, which helps them to detect danger as well, so that they may avoid being caught. Then they race off from the oncoming danger. In the same way, we as Christians should use the defensive tools that God has provided us to sense danger and run away. You ever see a possum or a deer or perhaps some other animal squished on the side of the road? I guess playing dead didn't help the possum that well at that time, or a sense of smell or hearing didn't help the deer, or perhaps at night it just got stargazed by the headlights. But both the deer and the possum assumed it was safe to cross the road, but unknowingly were caught off guard by a high-speed car that didn't care about the livelihood of either of them and bammed flat all over the road. Satan doesn't care for us much either. When we toy with temptation and sin, it's like being on a road and Satan will be right there and bam, splat, we can become spiritual roadkill. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and share your word. And I pray, Father, that these words will be yours and that people may be edified by them. In your name I pray, amen. Last time I was able to come up here, we talked about having the foundation of the gospel and being prepared to defend and spread the gospel. I now have Godwear instead of plastic world on my feet. My feet are now ready for action. But is it wise to put yourself in a compromising situation? Temptation is everywhere. There are places, things, situations that tell you there is sin. Some temptations seem at times to be too much to handle. They just hit that weak spot. You know the one I'm talking about. We all have them in our armor. A good strength to have is to know when to run or retreat. Let's look at some superheroes, for instance. Every one of them has some kind of weakness that they can be defeated by. Superman is allergic to kryptonite. Spider-Man has emotions and just regularly human, and so he can be shot or killed in some way if they get him off guard. Hulk is just full of emotions. Gets angry, gets all big and buff. Green Lantern, he's allergic to yellow. That's kind of weird, but it's true. Batman, well, he saw his parents killed, so he has a lot of issues with revenge. And he, too, is human. And have you ever heard of the Wonder Twins? They have to be together to transform. If they're apart, they cannot transform. We certainly aren't superheroes or super Christians, but we do have weaknesses, and most of us have lots of them. Let's turn to Ephesians. Chapter 4, starting with verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. I want to stress that last part there, nor give place to the devil. In the New American, it says, do not leave room. In the New Revised Standard, it says, do not make room. In other words, let's not give Satan an opportunity to prey on our weaknesses. The old man is done away with. Let's keep him that way. Second Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In Proverbs 4, verses 14, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun, that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So in other words, get off the road. There are some places that we know should be off limits because of all kinds of things and all kinds of sin that goes on there. It is best and wise just to stay away and avoid such places. Most of them are obvious and all kinds of sin go on there. Here are a few roads we shouldn't be on, and some examples we should follow and some not to follow. The story of Joseph is found in Genesis chapter 39, verses 6 through 21. I'll just kind of preface it. Joseph was sold into slavery, and his master was called Potiphar. And while he was working there, or being a servant there, Potiphar's wife tried many times to get Joseph to sleep with her. But each time, he refused. And it happened day by day by day, every day, just bug by this woman. So eventually, he fled and got away from her. He worked with her, so he probably been around her a lot. But he still did what he could not to give in to her. He did go to jail because she lied about the whole thing and put the blame on him, saying he was the one that was coming on to her. But God was with him through the whole thing and rewarded him for not giving in to sin. At my work, I have a similar, well, not really similar, but kind of situation there where one of my coworkers likes to bring magazines to work. And in these magazines, there are men's magazines. Well, quote, men's magazines. And, of course, he reads them just for the articles. Yeah, that's what they all say. So, to avoid that and to avoid being tempted to read these magazines, I simply told him not to ever show me those magazines, that he can go read them somewhere else. I don't want nothing to do with it. David, the story of David and Bathsheba is found in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David, on the other hand, saw the woman and had lust in his heart, saw her bathing from a rooftop. And he went ahead and sent for her and slept with her and made her pregnant. Now there's a big mess. He tries to cover it up by having her husband be with her, but he wouldn't do it because he was a soldier and in the army and he was fighting. And the other soldiers didn't have the chance to be with their wives, so he slept with the servants. So exasperated, David finally put him on the front line, knowing that he would be killed, and sure enough, he did. David was then punished by God, always having fight after fight. The sword would never ever leave his house. And eventually, all of his women were taken away from him. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." One lesson to learn besides fleeing those youthful lusts is to pursue the good things to make it easier to flee from sin, in this case, from youthful lusts. Fill your life with good and stay off the road. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go there. Starting in verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Another example we can find is with Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, found in Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar had a statue made of pure gold, and when some music played, everyone was to bow down to this gold idol. The punishment was to burn in the very hot and fiery furnace. So the music played, and everyone bowed down before the gold except three: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were brought before the king, and they refused to bow down because they would not obey the king. He had them thrown into the very hot and fiery furnace, which was heated 7 times the normal hotness, I guess you can call it, and it actually burned the buff people that threw them in there. But God spared them, and an angel stood in the midst of them, and not even their hair or their clothing was burned. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." Worship of various gods was totally ingrained in Greek culture. In the ancient Greek world, there were idols on the street corners and in houses. Various civic societies paid homage to their favorite gods. Cities adopted certain gods as their special protectors. The pagan temples were frequented often, especially in Corinth, with its temple prostitution. Pagan worship is a violation of the believer's union with Christ, which says that in verse 21 of chapter 10. The idols themselves are not a threat, says in verse 19. The danger lies in the demons, says in verse 20, who, unknown to the worshipers, are the real objects of idol worship. Today there's not as much idol worship of wooden or gold objects, but anything really could be an idol. Your family could even be an idol. Money, a souped-up car, whatever it might be. And stay off the road. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21 say, "O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Romans chapter 16, verses 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore I am glad on your behalf that I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Starting in verse 1. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which every envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicion, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. You can find lots and lots of examples in the Gospels about the Pharisees and the Sadducees that always just haggled Jesus all the time. And they always bickered about the law and the rules and the regulations that didn't pertain to what God was all about and what Jesus was all about. Today's preachers, same way. They add stuff to the Bible. They take away from the Bible. They say things that are just so outlandish you wouldn't believe it. It's just crazy what today's preachers have come up with. So be aware of what's being taught and check it out in Scripture. And stay off the road. There's a story of Achan found in Joshua chapter 7. Joshua lost a battle on his conquest of Canaan to a place called Ai, or Ai, or A-I, something. It's spelled Ai, so whatever. Joshua knew someone had taken some goods that God had said not to take. They were accursed things because God told them not to take it. Joshua used a process of elimination of everyone to find out who took the accursed things. When it was Achan's turn, he confessed to have taken some of the fine clothing and 200 shekels of silver and a gold wedge and hid them under his tent. Because of his greed, he and his family were stoned. Next example would be Judas in Matthew 26:14. It says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into some foolish and harmful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For a love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which have some strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with some sorrows. Reminds me of a story about a guy who died and went to heaven. He had a lot of money and gold and things, and yeah, he was at the pearly gates, and he says to Peter, when he's up there, he says, "Can I bring one thing with me from earth?" So with persuasion, he said, "Okay, one thing." So the man was able to go back down to earth, and he brought up just a whole bunch of gold and brings it up there. And he brings it up there, and Peter says, "You brought pavement?" See, the worldly goods today, it means nothing up in heaven. So, if you're thinking, "Oh, I gotta get more money, I gotta work hard, get more money," well, that's good, but let's not make it the focus. Stay away, avoid that temptation to be greedy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 23. "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." This one and the one from 1 Timothy chapter 6 talked about avoiding arguments and disputes. Ones like, should the pulpit be glass or wood? Should you walk down the aisle briskly or go really slow? Or should we do communion in just regular bowls or pretty gold things? Just dumb things like that. Or just disputes between brothers. They should be... No, this shouldn't be done. So stay off the road. Matthew chapter 26. Verses 41. "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Mark 9, verse 42. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it will be better for them for a millstone be were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell and to the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. In these three scriptures, first, in Matthew 26, the reason why we should stay off the road is because our flesh is weak. We might really want to do good, but there are just some of those temptations that cause us to stray and get on that road where there's Satan that wants to run you down. And in this one I just read in Mark, if anything causes you to sin, any kind of temptation, remove yourself from that situation. Just like Joseph did, he removed himself. He got away. He fled. Avoid temptation. Avoid that sin. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and acknowledge Him, He will direct your path. He will keep you from stepping on that road. As a soldier, sometimes it's just better to avoid instead of confront. Especially if it's that area that you're weak in. So watch and pray, as it says in Matthew 26. And don't give an opportunity for Satan. Sin and temptation are coming your way. Move out of the way or be spiritual roadkill. I'm going to close with a scripture from 1 Corinthians 1 through 13. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has taken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Thank you.